Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
We're back live on The Source on KSTX, Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. State Representative Steve Allison won't be going back to Austin for the next legislative session. Allison lost his reelection bid in the Republican primary to Mark LaHood. LaHood won that seat with the financial support of Governor Greg Abbott due to Allison's opposition to the school voucher plan. Though Allison still, right now, remains to be the state representative for Texas District 121, and he continues to call for Abbott to fully fund public schools in Texas. We're now joined by Representative Steve Allison in the studio, and welcome to The Source.
Thank you for having me.
Our phone number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you got a question or a comment for Representative Allison and about what is happening with school funding in Texas. So, Representative, you did call on Governor Abbott. You wrote a column and it was published in Express News saying that we need to call a special session to fund public schools. Why?
Well, because we need to do that. You know, going into this last session, I was very confident. I think we had a clear consensus that we need to do something for public education funding and also take care of our teachers and also provide more for school safety. We get into the session. We did a little bit for school safety. I think we put $1.1 billion into school safety, which sounds like a lot until you realize we've got over 1,200 school districts in the state. So that $1.1 billion is woefully inadequate. So that needed to be addressed. We're in the bottom 10 in the nation on how we fund our public schools, and that needs to be addressed. It has needed to be addressed for a long while. We haven't increased the basic allotment, which is the starting point and kind of the great equalizer, as it's been characterized for all of our school districts. But we haven't increased that since 2019. And in the interim, between 2019 and now, we've gone through a horrible economy. Inflation is out of sight. Costs have gone up. We're all impacted by that. And anything we do, and schools are not any different. They're suffering through increased costs, increased expenses. We need to do something because education, I believe, is so foundational to our society. We've got to have an educated populace, whether that's in academic type pursuits, whether that's to learn a trade or a skill, whether it's military preparation, whatever. We need to concentrate on public education, and we're not doing that. And to make matters worse, the governor suddenly came up with the support for what he called school choice. Well, I think that's very misleading and a great misrepresentation, because what the details are is a private school voucher plan. And I have been long opposed to private school vouchers. I think that's an inappropriate use of public funds. I think it's discriminatory, and I think it's damaging to our public education system. You hear a lot of complaints from the rural districts, because if funding goes to a private school voucher program, that takes money away from what would otherwise go to the public schools. We're funded primarily out of the permanent school fund and the available school fund. It goes through the foundational school program administered by TEA. And the Constitution is very specific that I think we're ignoring as well. We've got some very constitutional prohibitions against going in this direction. The Constitution requires that the legislature shall provide and maintain a free public school system. I think that wording in the Constitution shows our forefathers' strong emphasis on education. It goes further and provides that the permanent school fund and the available school fund can only be used for those free public schools. It goes further, and the Constitution provides that no public funds can be used for sectarian purposes. There's a lot of movement, and I know I sat on that committee and heard some of the testimony, or all the testimony, but there's clearly a movement from the governor that he wants to devote a lot of this to private school, not only just private schools, but parochial schools. and particularly the Catholic schools, parish schools, that runs right in the face of those constitutional prohibitions. And what are we accomplishing? Then you look around the other states, and I think that's an obligation and a requirement that we need to do that, to see what the experience in other states have been. And without exception, you find that these other states that have imposed a private school voucher program, the ones receiving the vouchers are ones that have been in private school from day one. What they're doing is just subsidizing parents and families that have already made that choice way back. So what have we accomplished? Then when you break it down to just the basics, and what my concern is, you know, if you talk about school choice, if you want to use that terminology, we have an abundance of choice opportunity. We've spent a lot of time, effort, and money, and have some excellent programs. We have a very robust charter program that's part of the public school system. We have a very robust magnet programs. Here in San Antonio, for example, we've been at the forefront of magnet programs. Northeast, Northside, San Antonio have outstanding magnet programs that continue to expand without any attendance boundary requirement. You can go live anywhere in the area and attend any of the magnet programs. STEM programs have taken off, been highly successful, highly important. CTE programs in development of workforce readiness, development of trade, their skills, military readiness. And then what really that gets to me is that, and we can use our local school districts as an example, all of them with any size. Now, Alamo Heights, where I was on the board for a number of years, is an exception because it's too small. But the other districts, Northeast, Northside, San Antonio, have open transfer policies whereby if you have a child in a second grade at one campus, and you want your child to be closer to where you work, your child's not getting along with other kids, you're not crazy about the environment of the campus, you don't like the teacher, whatever, you can freely move your child to another second grade campus in the district, and that's been utilized in large numbers here. That's just pure choice, and that's what we're flying in the face of. So why do it? I've given a number of talks, spoken to different groups, numbering total up in the hundreds, and each one I asked, all right, if you were given $8,000 or $10,500, or you've heard of people talking about that, where would you go? And I have not to this date received one person say, oh, I'd go to X school. Because, well, financially you can't do it. There's not a private school in San Antonio that you can cover for $8,000 or $10,500, at least a private school that's going to be an improvement or advancement. And that's one thing that I think we're missing. You know, when some of these other programs have propped up, in fact, even one of the private efforts a number of years ago failed because they're pop-up schools that don't work. Kids slowly come back, either the school sends them back, because, you know, when you talk about school choice, it's not a parent's choice or a student's choice, it's the school's, the private school's choice. They decide who they take or who they don't take. They decide who they keep or don't keep. And that's what the experience has been. These kids were sent back one way or the other, or by choice, come back to the public schools. And invariably, what is alarming is they come back behind. So what are we accomplishing? Just some of the things that I think we are overlooking. You know, I often use the phrase, painfully, I guess, that the devil's in the details. Well, we're missing the details, you know, because school choice, you hear that, oh, are you for school choice or parent choice? Well, who isn't? Who isn't? Well, of course you are, but when you get it to a private school voucher program, that's a totally different animal. And if you look at just the cost, yeah, we appropriated $500 million a year. So that's $1 billion in the biennium. It's going to increase rapidly up to 2.5 and up to $5 billion. And you look around again, the other states experiencing it. Again, to repeat, we've got to do that. We've got to see what the other states have experienced.
Well, there's a report out today that Arizona, which was one of the very first states to adopt the school voucher program, that their results is that it's bleeding out the actual public school program, that has become so expensive that it has left a big gaping budget hole in the overall public
In the overall budget, yeah. The state budget. Yes, that's where I was headed. That's a prime example because the Texas plan was somewhat predicated upon the Arizona plan that has been a failure.
And then also other, like the Ohio studies have been done, and they're showing no academic gain with these programs.
And that's what we're seeing in other states, Ohio, Kentucky. I think Florida's having some problems with kids coming back and being behind, so there's no academic gain, and at a loss. And we're taking that money away from our public schools, the kids that need it. It doesn't sound like sound business principles to me that you devote a bunch of money to help 5% to the detriment of 95%. And that's what the numbers show, that at most it's going to be somewhere between 2 and 7%. That exercise the vouchers.
And they're the ones who are already going to
And that's what the numbers have shown. At high 60% to, in some states, 98% are ones that have been in private school from day one. So what have you accomplished? That's troubling.
So in legislation, you could put a requirement, an income cap or something, so that this would only really help people who are working class, not high earners, but that wasn't considered in this legislation.
That wasn't the one that finally came out. No, it wasn't. And in fact, there were some proposals put out that, you know, that the talk is you want to get kids out of low-performing schools that want out.
That was the argument. But the legislation they put forth, I mean, that's why some people criticize this as a reverse Robin Hood plan, that it takes from the poor and gives to the rich. We're going to take a break here. Our phone lines are open. It's 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We're here with State Representative Steve Allison talking about school vouchers and why he said he voted against it. We're going to get more into that when we come back from the break. Stay with us.
Support for TPR comes from Jingu House in the Japanese Tea Garden, featuring Asian cuisine with a San Antonio twist. Open for lunch 7 days a week. View the menu at jinguhousesatx.com.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. Steve Allison is the state representative for District 121. It's Alamo Heights, north part of northeast part of San Antonio. He will be serving until the whoever wins the election in November, because Allison was knocked out in the primary. The Republican standard bearer now for this race will be Mark LaHood. And we're taking your calls. If you've got a question or comment, the number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. So, Representative Allison, the narrative is you went against Greg Abbott. You joined with 20 other Republicans and the Democrats in the House, and you prevented the passage of the school voucher bill. And also, you were very eloquent in your opposition to it. You spoke out against it. You called for amendments that might have made it more acceptable, and those were shot down. And then you were targeted, like all the other Republicans that voted against the bill. They were targeted by Abbott. Abbott had a lot of money to spend against you because he was able to get billionaires to help fund his political action committee to take you out. So given that, that's why you're no longer going to be a state representative. Do you regret your opposition to school vouchers?
No, not a bit. Not a bit.
And what do you think is going to happen to the seat with Mark LaHood? Some people see this as a seat. I mean, that you were seen as, although you were very conservative, you were not soft on any conservative issue, but you were also seen of like someone who could attract votes from moderates in the district as well because you were reasonable. Now the seat, people wonder if it's up for grabs.
I think it is. I think it is. You know, that's what is offensive from the governor's actions. You know what we did, the 21 Republicans and then all the Democrats voted to strike the voucher provisions out of the House Bill 1, which is the was a more comprehensive education bill. The thinking being that then we would go forward with the remainder of House Bill 1 that had all the education reforms, teacher compensation, increasing the basic allotment, although not very much, what we wanted. But Abbott let it be known in that bill, the rest of the bill was pulled down. I think we envisioned making amendments to it to increase the basic allotment, but more into teacher compensation, school safety, accountability. And we weren't entitled to do that. We weren't allowed to do that. And what I resent is, I think as a representative, you represent the entirety of your district, all constituents, not a number who may or may not have voted in a Republican primary 2 years ago. You got to represent the entirety of the district. My district, 121, the district that I represent, responded to me overwhelmingly that they were opposed to vouchers.
So you're just doing your job as a representative. You were representing.
I would hope so, and that's what we're supposed to do. So I resent the governor saying, no, don't do what your constituents want. Do what I want. And that's just wrong, and particularly on an issue like this that was so separate. There's nothing that kept the voucher program, his proposed plan, whatever, going separate than the more important funding deal. There's no connection there whatsoever.
Right, we're going to get into that. I'm going to go to a caller. This is Christine. Christine's on the line. You're on the air, Christine.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. So I'm a public school teacher in a low-income district or a low-income area, and my kids attend a Catholic school. And I just am not for vouchers at all. I don't think my public school kids should have to supplement my budget. That is a choice that my family is making to pay for tuition. And I just feel that that's going to take away from public school kids, and it's not fair. And secondly, I think private school parents also need to realize part of the reason why I send my kids to a Catholic school is because I don't want them doing the STAR test. I don't want that state assessment. And what would that look like? I think parents, Catholic school parents or private school parents, need to realize that some of those state assessments our kids would probably have to do, which is one reason why I don't want, for multiple reasons, but that's a very selfish reason on my part. I don't want my kids doing the STAR test.
Yeah, but that's your prerogative as a parent. And thank you so much, Christine, for that call. And so, Representative Allison, your response.
I agree. I agree with her wholeheartedly. That was one of the sticking points and concerns was standardized testing. And you hear this argument that I think is absolutely baseless that, well, it'll be good competition. Well, competition has to have some semblance of a level playing field. And when you have private schools that are able to select their students as opposed to public schools who have to take every single student that's in the area and beyond, where one requires teachers be certified, the other does not. Where one requires standardized testing, the other does not. The breadth of services offered, where one required is required to provide special education services and special needs services, where the private schools are not, that's not competition.
Right. That's something different. Let's go to the caller. We have David. And David, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I would just like to say that there were a lot of Democrats in the district who would be voting for Mr. Allison because he is a common sense, true public servant. And now, the Democrat will win this.
All right. So the call quality was not good. But he was saying that this is an opportunity for the Democrat, and the Democrat is Taylor, I believe, her name. Let me look at that up. But
Laurel Swift.
Laurel Swift. That's why I was thinking Taylor Swift. I was getting the name wrong. But so Laurel Swift. Yes.
Well, I appreciate the caller's sentiment. I've tried to do that. I think it's important to represent, like I said, the entirety of the district. I've always liked the Texas legislature and admired it because it used to work in a more bipartisan way to get things accomplished for the good of the people in individual districts, and we're departing from that.
Well, the part of the problem is the lack of competition. Everyone's like, competition is so good for schools. Why isn't it good for local government? Why isn't it good for the state of Texas? So let's have some competition. Let's go to Jeff on the phones. And Jeff, you're on the air.
Thank you. I'm married to a school teacher that taught on Northeast. Now she's teaching in a little town west of San Antonio. But my thing is, she taught in Florida for 20 years and was able to retire they have a cost of living in Florida for teacher retirement, and I think they should have that in Texas. And the other thing is, she taught in Tampa, Florida, and they had one superintendent and about six assistant superintendents for the whole county, which saved them tons of money. In San Antonio, they have a superintendent for here and there and everywhere. So why can't they cut back on some of that and give the money to the teachers?
All right. It's because we have so many school districts. That's the problem. I'm going to put this fact out here. Okay, according to the TEA data, the state contribution to annual per student funding in fiscal year 2014 was $4,235. In fiscal year 2024, the state's contribution is $4,196. So it has dropped. And so we've adjusting for inflation, even though with these the real dollars, the decrease in state funding is more than 22% lower per student than the last previous decade. And so Texas is more than $5 billion short than where it was 10 years ago for the funding of public education. So, and Abbott is holding back dollars to actually make this. So that's why we're not having teachers getting salary increases. This is why school districts are running in the red. This is why maintenance is being put off. And overall, we're having a public school crisis. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct. That's absolutely correct. You know, our districts are faced with cutting positions, cutting programs, cutting services. That's not going to come back.
These are compounding losses.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And
that's why the timing is so important. You know, we have the money right now. That's
yeah. We
so
had billions and billions of dollars in the coffers,
and still do. You know, we have money that was allocated. I think $5 billion that is just sitting there. It was appropriated, but hasn't been enabled. Now that can be done, but that isn't enough. We still need to put more into school safety. We passed the school safety provision that includes somewhat of a unfunded mandate requiring armed officers on each campus. That's going to be very difficult for a number of campuses to do, but that needs to be fixed. We need to put more into safety, teacher compensation. You know, the last caller's comments, I agree with him wholeheartedly on our retired teachers. We've fought, for lack of a better word, over a COLA, cost of living increase for them. We gave them a one-time this last session, plus a what's been called a 13th check. It helps, but we need to do something more long-standing because that helps attract future teachers. They see what the benefit programs are like and how we take care of our teachers, and we need to do more of that.
What are you going to do now that you're not going to be in the legislature?
Well, I've said I'm going to serve out my term, still working hard on that.
I know you're still doing the job as a state rep.
I am. We've got hearings set in youth health and safety and in public education coming up this next month. I intend to be fully active in those. And continue to serve my constituents, and then
are you going to go back to the board, Alamo Heights, if the voters want you?
No, I think I've served my time on the school board. I think others are better suited to do that. I'll just see what the future holds for me.
All right. Well, we thank you for coming on and talking to us today and briefing us on where things look with school vouchers. Do you think it'll pass in the next legislative session? I guess it's up to voters, isn't it?
It's up to the voters of what happens in November. And I'm not convinced that the governor thinks he has the votes. I'm not convinced of that. I think there may be some that a couple of members that went along with him that have heard from their constituents and may flip back. I'm not sure that it's going to pass.
All right. It's still in the air. Representative Steve Allison, District 121, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted and produced by David Martin Davies. Kayla Padilla is our booking and engagement producer. Engineering support from Ruben Garcia, Jesse Reeves, and Steve Short. Dan Katz is TPR's Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.